Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need. From athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Welcome back to Gab Me with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we are breaking down the latest from Summer House, from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, from The Real Housewives of Atlanta. There's a lot to talk about, and I was going to get into some of the sort of more peripheral Bravo stories that have popped up this week, namely Gia Giudice versus Bethany Frankel on social media, which I'm kind of living for low-key. Also, Ali Luber coming forward with more of her story about James Kennedy and her experience on that fateful night. But this episode goes for over an hour already, and I simply just don't have the time to record a long intro up here. So I think Tuesday's episode will be me kind of going through some of these more peripheral stories that have not happened on the show that I want to talk about. But today, to help me break down the latest from those three shows, as well as the Next Gen NYC trailer that dropped this week, the show that has Brooks Marks, Gia Giudice, Ariana Bierman, and Riley Burris on it, as well as other people in their 20s living in New York, I have Liz Bentley, who is the host of the Liz Explains podcast, which is available on Patreon. I have been following Liz on Twitter for a very long time, and I've always just like, she's always had some great takes, and she's kind of been filed away as somebody that I've wanted to reach out to. We've never met in person. So it was great to have her on the show, and she really knows her stuff, and I loved chatting with her, honestly. She had some really, really great takes, and I think you'll very much enjoy this episode. So keep listening from today's episode, all about Summer House, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Real Housewives of Atlanta, and the Next Gen NYC trailer. Check out Liz's podcast, Liz Explains, on her Patreon page. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. It'd be greatly appreciated to get a positive review or a 5-star rating. It really helps the show. Anyway, enjoy the show, and we'll see you next week. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Liz Bentley, host of the Liz Explains podcast. Liz has some great takes on Bravo on Twitter, and I've been following her for years. So I'm thrilled to have her on the podcast today. Liz, thanks for being here. How are you?
Good. Hi. I'm so glad we're finally chatting.
I know. Where do your mind stand right now when it comes to just Bravo overall? How are you feeling?
Okay. I will say that one, I think Bravo is much more enjoyed, and I am such a hypocrite for saying this, when you are logged off. Like, when you are not following every single update from every Instagram account and Reddit post and Twitter account, the shows are a lot better. I waited to watch Jersey last season and, like, wasn't really paying attention, like, to what people were saying. And I was like, oh, good season.
Yeah.
Online, it's like people are ready to murder one another, and I'm like, I think I have a different perspective on this. And it was a real wake-up call for me, so I am trying to just like enjoy the shows more. I think this like panic that people seem to be in about the state of the housewife,
oh my god, yeah,
is from online discourse and not from the actual shows. Mm-hmm. Like, so overall, like, I'm feeling good on Bravo. I feel like Peacock Next Day Air has been like the best thing to ever happen to the network.
I agree.
Somebody who like cut her the cord in like 2012, and I would have to like buy individual Bravo episodes. Like, it was the worst. So now it's so easy to watch. For me, I'm like keeping up more than I was. I mean, I've always like kept up, but being able to like easily watch the episodes is great. Mm-hmm. And like, look, does Beverly Hills suck? Yeah, it does. Like, but I also think like we're in a good Atlanta. I'm like
amazing.
Screaming watching it. Mm-hmm. OC just had the best season in 10 years. Salt Lake firing on all cylinders. The Valley, fantastic. Like, I think there's a lot of good shows on Bravo. And I just want to like focus on them and like pretend that the last season of Vanderpump Rules didn't happen.
I completely agree. And I think that it's sort of like, you just have to realize that not every show can be good at the same time. And you just have to like take the good with the bad and the ups with the downs. And that's just part of being a Bravo fan for life. So,
I mean, I was watching Après Ski. And before that, that camp show. Like,
I had the camp show. What a throwback.
Then like became Après Ski. Or maybe it was other. I don't remember which way it
me
went.
Neither.
But like, they were connected
but
somehow.
They happened, allegedly, yes.
Like, I remember people being so mad at the Vanderpump Rules pilot. Like, how dare they trick me into watching this? Like, there's always been bad on Bravo. Always. There's always been bad season of Housewives. There's always been bad.
I mean, listen,
you just
like,
kind of get through it.
Summer House was like not a good show for the first two seasons, objectively. And you know,
I was
and,
the only person watching. Right,
oh, no,
with
yeah,
the Workers
me and you.
Circus.
Me and you. Like, exactly. And like, listen, I have fond memories of the Workers Circus, but like, you have to, you have to kind of let the shows figure it out sometimes. And especially when they've been on for like 15 years plus, they're going to have speed bumps and they're going to have to figure things out. So speaking of something maybe that may have some speed bumps, we got the trailer for NYC Next Gen, which we had heard about the show happening. I had thought it was going to be called Making It in Manhattan. So they've changed the name of it. What were your first thoughts on when you heard about this show? And then how did the trailer sort of match up with those expectations?
Okay, so one, Next Gen NYC, whatever they're calling it, is a better name than Making It.
Yes, I agree.
In my opinion. Because first of all, like, none of these kids are making it. Like, making it to where? Like, none of you have it. Like, which is fine. You cannot have it and still be good on reality television. But the idea that Gia Giudice is making it in Manhattan, like, no. We're too connected to some of these kids also, too, that, like, we know
totally.
They're not doing that. So Next Gen, I appreciate the name change. Here's the thing. I had a major mea culpa moment with The Valley in that I was like, I never want this show to be on air. I will never watch this. The trailer was so bad. Remember the Wisteria Lane?
That weird teaser thing. Yeah, that was bizarre.
I was like, I will never watch this. And then like after one episode, I'm seeing people tweet like it's fun and I'm watching and like kicking my feet. So
yeah,
I am at a place where I'm like, I will give Next Gen NYC. I will watch one episode of it. I will watch at least one episode because I was so wrong on The Valley.
Me too.
And I am also, Ariana Bierman is actually charismatic. Like, I get her TikToks sometimes.
Oh, do you? I don't really get her TikToks. She looks like Tate McRae to me. That's what I, right?
She does. She also seems to be like a more disconnected from the family than her sister was for years.
Okay.
I don't keep up with Brielle so much, but like,
that's a good sign, I would say.
Embarrassing stuff will happen and she posts TikToks like, uh-oh. like she seems very aware of it in a way that I find kind of endearing. And so I'm like, I'm okay with her. Riley, we'll see about Riley. My thing is, Brooks and Chloe are such a no-go. Like, they do not do it for me. So I don't know. I'm feeling very like, I will give it a chance, but I'm concerned. And also like, let's just bring back Real Girlfriends of Paris, actually.
Well, that's okay. One thing is like, so the Housewives offspring of it all, I feel like they have four. They have Brooks, Riley, Ariana, and Gia. And it's like, it's not the most charismatic Housewives offspring you could find. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it looks like they brought in the Housewives themselves and Seth to sort of like do some of the heavy lifting here, which is probably really smart. But I feel like sort of, I mean, you mentioned Real Girlfriends in Paris. I feel like the show, it sort of wants to be like, Next Gen Housewives for like let's see what an offspring show looks like, but it also sort of wants to be like NYC Prep All Grown Up, but it also sort of wants to have like a Gossip Girl tint, but it also sort of wants to be like a show about TikTok stars. And I feel like it's trying to do a little bit too much, and maybe a first season is what it takes to sort of find its identity, you know. But I feel like I can't really touch down on like what exactly it's supposed to be. Yeah.
I did see someone tweet that their theory is that reality TV is dying because Gen Z doesn't have what it takes to be a reality television star. They're very good at influencing and making content and self-producing content. And like, I say this as someone who has always followed like internet creators, but there is a difference between someone who is good on the internet and someone who's good on TV. Some people are good on both, but not everyone.
Right.
And I am not sure there's like any really good Gen Z kids to be on reality television. I think they interact with the world differently in a way that doesn't translate to TV, that does translate to like
to
making TikTok videos
right.
or YouTube or
That's
whatever.
A good point.
And I don't mean that in like a stuck up way, like Elise, like it's reality television. It's not serious, but I just don't think they work that well in that medium. So I'm a little curious, like, how much heavy lifting do we need Seth Marks to be doing here? Because if we need Seth Marks to be a star of this show, I'm not so sure about it. But like, if Riley and Brooks and all of them can be funny, it's like, okay, we'll see.
Right.
This could be like Rich Kid of Beverly Hills would be great.
Mm-hmm. That's a good callback. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure it's going to be that because I'm not sure they have a Dorothy, a Morgan, and an EJ.
Right. I think the one person who could be a breakout star here, who is pretty great on TikTok and like, it looks like they're going to have pretty good confessional game is Amira, who I think like has a star quality about her. But again, TBD on if she'll pop on in the sort of, you know, environment of a reality television show. So yeah. I guess NYC Next Gen, we shall see.
Fingers crossed.
But it was interesting sort of to get the first actual footage of it and be like, okay. Hmm.
Well, also like nothing.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. Forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
It's real until we get a trailer. Like, they once filmed an entire season of a show called Teen Mom New Jersey. It was filmed. There was a trailer and it never aired. And every once in a while, I'm like, remember Teen Mom New Jersey? There was an entire 16 and pregnant season that wasn't aired. Like,
got it.
So until it's on TV, I'm like, I don't really.
You're not going to believe it.
It's nice to like see a real trailer and have a real name for it and be like, okay, we'll see what this is.
Totally. All right. So let's jump into what we got last night, which was Summer House.
Oh, good.
Where do we want to start? I mean, I feel like this is Summer House's moment right now. Like these past couple seasons have just been like it's what I look forward to the most, honestly. Like it's just there are a lot of threads that I'm interested in. I think maybe because Lexi was on Watch What Happens Live. Let's start with Lexi and Jesse. I'm curious where you land, because for me, I feel like, and I've said this before, it's like I feel like Jesse sort of love bombed her.
Yes.
She followed him to where he was sort of leading it really quickly. And now she's sort of being made out to be sort of the crazy one. And I do think the two things can be true. I think that she has like followed his lead and then some, especially when it comes to the sort of family element of it, which is like really wild. But I also think that he is sort of talking out of both sides of his mouth. Like, I think it sounds like he is being very different with her in private. And then sort of when he's repeating it to the rest of the house, he's misrepresenting maybe their conversations. Where are you landing with Jesse and Lexi?
Okay. I am so biased against Jesse because for any people who are Jewish who are listening, I know so many Jesse Solomons. I know a million Jesse Solomons. The minute he walked on screen, I was like, oh, there he is. Like, I've always been like a little wary of him. Okay. And actually somebody was like, yeah, but do you think the singing makes him a little different? I'm like, no, actually, that makes him even more of the specific type of person I'm thinking of. When he started doing the Hamotzi prayer at the Shabbos dinner, I was like, I took a video of it to send to people. I was crying laughing because it's just so, he's just such a specific type of person that's hard for me to explain. But like, I'm already biased against him because I'm like, ugh, I've seen you before. I know your moves. I don't really like Lexi that much. I don't dislike her, but she's not really doing that much for me. But
right.
Jesse is playing her to an extent that is crazy. Do I think that like the family stuff, maybe he felt a little pressure because she is too close with her family? Sorry.
Yes.
No offense to people who are close to their families. I don't understand that type of life. It's not reflective of my life.
Yeah, it's intense.
So like I can see like if you're with someone who's like truly with their family all of the time, feeling like pressured a little bit to like take this, but like nobody forced him to after a week be like, we're dating.
Right.
Nobody
right.
made him do that. He is not 19 years old. You know what I mean? Like, and I appreciated what Paige said about how at 26, she was like banging down doors looking
totally.
For guys. So like Jesse, like for Lexi taking him back after flowers makes sense. And I was like 100%. But Jesse, he's gross. Like the way he's acting this season is really gross to me. And I think he was doing it last season too, but to see him doing it to someone in the house so specifically, and also watching West watch him and judge him when they were in the car, the three of them, and West was like West was shook. And it's like, cause he knows what Jesse's doing. And then he's listening to Jesse be like, we're in love. We met each other's parents. Things are amazing. And Wes is like, I saw you fuck a girl 2 nights ago when we were at the bar.
Literally. Right. And also there's this whole element that people keep bringing up of like, did Jesse not learn anything from what West went through
no.
in terms of, right? Like,
is the answer.
Why not?
No, and he's not, because I don't think he's capable of that necessarily. I'm not sure he has the depth to do that. And I just, it also is like the worst watching a man set a woman up to be crazy.
Right. And it's
like watching it happen in real time is tough. And it's like, I'm sorry. I think he was fully in that orgy. But even if he did just have his toe sucked, like letting her find out on TV in front of the whole group is like,
yeah, he said on the after show that he was going to tell her before the reunion. And it's like, wait, like, did you not think this was going to be on the show, which airs before
what?
The reunion tapes? Like, that makes no sense.
Worse.
Yeah.
It's worse.
I don't understand
that. I think
that's
significantly worse.
Especially if you intended at the time to pursue a relationship with her. So in his mind, he was going to pursue the relationship with her. It was going to work out. And then, you know, 6 months into their relationship, he'd be like, oh, yeah, you remember that time you weren't there at the house? This random girl sucked my toe because Imrul dared her to. Like, that's...
He wanted to do, like, what Emmy and Will did to Maddie Rees about Joe Bradley right before the reunion, being like, by the bye!
Right.
And, like, try and blow up their relationship, like, 1 minute before the reunion starts filming. Like, no, you can't...
Right.
No.
What do you think is... This is a question on Watch What Happens Live, either on this speaker last week. What do you think is sort of a bigger transgression from Jesse? Is it the toe sucking or is it like the really openly aggressive flirting with Sierra?
I think it's the flirting with Sierra because...
Me too.
Because fans will ship them. They are cute together at times.
They are. They have an undeniable rapport.
It's one thing. The toe sucking, I think in real time, the toe sucking is probably worse, right? Because like that's really concrete. When she said that she feels like Jesse and Sierra are like brother and sister.
That was tough.
And Jesse knows, he has now done a whole season. He watched people like, I remember tweeting last season, like watching Sierra and Wes fall in love. Like, I hope they're still together because this is so cute. And like,
yes.
If they're still together, this is like such a pretty love story. It's like when I rewatch OC season 2 and watch Lori fall in love with George, knowing he's the real deal and they're still together. I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
This would be awful to watch if he had ended up being a scumbag. But actually, this is like beautiful to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how I felt last season. So like Jesse knows that. And he knows there are going to be people that are like, you and Sierra should be together.
1,000%.
And Lexi is new in this season. So nobody's like people are going to be rooting for Jesse and Sierra. Some people. And like, imagine you're Lexi and like people in your comments, like shipping your boyfriend with like your castmate. Like, that's why I think it's grosser, because the toe sucking is just like classic grossness, like bullshit summer house behavior. But something about this feels a little more fourth wall breaky to me in a way that I don't like.
And it's just more substantial. Like, it's the toe sucking.
Well, we're
is
seeing
like,
it also. Totally. We didn't see the toe sucking. We're seeing them canoodling, if you will.
Mm-hmm. It's much more threatening to whatever Lexi and Jesse have going on. Do you think that there's this whole conversation around the girls being girls or not, you know? And more specifically, though, do you think that the other girls in the house should be sticking up for Lexi? Or do you think that they're, because they kind of seem to be sort of gearing towards the Jesse side, which I think, you know, they've known him for longer, right? Yeah. But like, what do you make that dynamic? Because Lexi doesn't really have anybody in her corner, especially now that Bailey is just, you know, missing in action.
Rest in peace, Bailey, first of all. Hope she rests well. That's hard because I do think in real time it's hard to see. It's harder to see it. Like, we have such a vantage point, like, with these edited episodes. Like, it's so easy for us to be like, he's so clearly setting her up to look crazy. I'm a little curious in real time if it didn't seem quite as intense. Mm-hmm. And I do think, like, on these shows, there's always going to be a loyalty element. And also, all of the cast members will always be threatened by new, younger cast members of their same sex. Like, that's just the dynamics that have always been set up. So, like, do I want to see them protect Lexi? Yes. And I like to see the girls come together. I want them to all support each other. Do I think as of now they're, like, flagrantly,
obligated.
Like... Yeah. I don't think they've, like,
think
done
so.
Her dirty yet either. Mm-hmm. They told her the stuff they knew. Paige, at one point, Jesse was kind of like trying to set Paige up to talk about something. And she was like, no. Like, I think that we will see as it goes on, they call him out more, would be my guess. It would be disappointing if we see her, like, get a classic, like, Vanderpump Rules other woman situation when, like, she's not that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of another woman and maybe a Vanderpump Rules connection, a lot of people are comparing Lil to Joe. I see it. Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely, you know, cut from the same cloth and making their own outfit out of it. Yeah.
I would look, if I came on reality TV, everyone would be like, what is this girl doing? Like, what? Like, I'd be sitting there like so weird. Like, I would not come off well on reality TV. So I say this with love. Some people are not meant for television.
Totally.
Some people don't read well on television. Some people are just not built for television. And Hollywood was established with the beautiful people and the rest of us. And now, you know, things have mingled and the lines get confused. And there are some of us that we're just not built for TV. And actually, I would say that's a compliment. Like, when people don't come off well on reality TV, oftentimes, like, someone like Lil, Joe's different. Joe is, like, kind of in her own world. But Lil specifically, I don't want to class them together so much because Joe's in some really kooky stuff that I don't think would be fair to, like, put on Lil. I think Lil's just weird. And, like, that doesn't read well on TV unless you're, like, you look like Rebecca Romijn at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I think she was pretty. Like, she seemed nice. Like, there's nothing wrong with Lil except that she's not meant for TV. But most people shouldn't be meant for TV. People in reality TV are out of their minds.
It's a select class. Yes, it's very specific. Like, yeah, right.
And Lil, like, I felt like a bless her heart watching her. It was so, like, and also, it's like, just, I don't want to see people talking about you. Like, get off television.
Well, and now there's something unnatural about her, like, posting receipts on her Instagram story about, like, when these things were, you know, actually happening. And so this thing with Lindsay getting really activated on Carl's is really hard because, like, we as an audience know that she is, like, overreacting to something that is incorrect information. But in the moment, again, we're talking about sort of in the moment at that time, she was given this information by Gabby via Lil. I think it was sort of a miscommunication.
I was going to say, was she given this information? Because it was kind of everyone's saying it.
Well, I think that Gabby, when she asked Lil, oh, this was last summer, I think that Lil said, yeah, my parents met him. I think that she was saying my parents met him last summer, but she didn't pick up on the fact that she was also asking about the messaging. So I think Gabby repeated it. Gabby took a leap, I think, repeated it to Lindsay in this way. And Lindsay obviously got activated because this is the Lindsay we know. And we got this moment at Shabbat dinner. And again, we knew that it was incorrect. And so, like, you're kind of you're gonna see it from Carl's perspective more. What did you make of how that whole thing played out?
Okay. I want to be clear. I love Lindsay Hubbard as a reality TV star. All the things I was just saying, Lindsay fits all of them. I think she is incredible, charismatic, the star of this show. I think she should be on her, if not her own show, some other, like, I want her on television. She is incredible. Mm-hmm. But, like, as a person, it is hard to watch someone who refuses to take in any new information whatsoever, as Paige very clearly explained for us earlier in the episode when she was like, it doesn't matter what the truth is. Lindsay just has her own truth, and that's the only one she has. So I find Lindsay's lack of reflection the thing that makes her who she is and the best reality star on this cast, but also the thing that, like, as a viewer, is so hard for me to watch, because it's like, Lindsay, look, I get she is pregnant and her hormones all over the place, but, like, just ask him. And I also, like, just still have an issue with the way that Lindsay handled the whole breakup post-filming. Like, I thought her blindsided stuff was really dirty. Like, I didn't like it. I didn't like that press tour that she went on. I don't like Carl, for the record. I'm like, get Carl off the show. Actually, I will say this was his best episode this season. I'll give him some credit.
Yeah, it was a good episode for him.
He played along. But in general, it's like, I don't know.
I don't think he's built for this anymore.
I look at Carl so pathetically that, like, I'm like, Lindsay, what are you doing? Just ask Carl. Like, watching her scream at him, and it's like, just ask him. And then just say sorry. Like, just say sorry. If you are shown the proof. And, like, watching her triple down every time makes such good television. Like, I was, like, riveted during this fight. It was so good. There is kind of a weird element for me personally, who's triggered by parents in general and relationships, watching her soberly act like this. I think it is a little easier, like, to write off her behavior when she's blackout. But when she's, like, sober and with child, I feel like it's a little harder for me personally to watch because I'm like, I want you to control your anger. Like, I want you to be in a better place. Like, I do. So that's, like, a little personally hard for me. But yeah, like, it made for a great scene. But, like, when we are talking about it as, like, regular people, it's like, Lindsay, just
go to him.
Like,
right.
Why did you go from 0 to 100? Do I think she's obsessed with him the way that Carl said? No. No. But do I think that she is still so fucking mad that he dared to break up with her? Yeah. He ruined her plan.
That makes sense. I also think that, like, if you're, like, in this really bizarre specific situation, you find out that, like, somebody you were with potentially could have cheated on you, like, I'm going to want to get the answer to that. That doesn't mean that I'm not over them. You know what I mean? I do think on both sides, there's probably, at this point in time of filming, like, they had not completely come to terms with, like, and, like, sort of totally processed everything. And, like, things move so quickly. But, like, I'm going to want to get that answer, too. So I don't think that means she's not over him.
Agreed.
But it could have been handled in a different way, for sure.
I also think, like, okay, I am done with Lindsay and Carl in Summer House. I'm unsure on Lindsay. I think I'm done with Carl in Summer House 100%. I'm like, Carl, move back to Pittsburgh, get a job at an office, find a nice girl and settle down. Like, that is the life that you should be living. Stop this soft bar shit. Stop all of this shit. By the way, I am in recovery. I've been in recovery for almost 11 years. So, like, I say this with love to Carl, like, get out of here. Like, this is not for you.
It's not the environment. Right.
So I'm, like, unsure on Lindsay, but, like, as far as their relationship, I'm like, I'm over it. I know exactly why they broke up. After last year, I felt like there could be nothing more conclusive. Like, we had so much conclusion. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally.
We truly
especially
saw
on that reunion. Yeah.
We truly saw everything. And their breakup was, like, the best thing that could have ever happened for both of them. So for me as a viewer, I'm like, I don't really want to watch them fighting. We're done. We've told the story. Book is closed. Following Lindsay on her journey, I would rather see on a show that's not Summer House. I also don't see how she can possibly be on the show this season. It doesn't make any sense. So I want to still follow Lindsay. But, like, watch him go back and forth is really fun. But at the end of the day, I'm also like, I don't feel that emotionally invested in watching him fighting because I'm like, no, it's so good you guys broke up.
Right. At a certain point, it's sort of like, yeah, you want there should be the valley for the city, basically.
Yeah.
There should be, yeah. And like, yeah. And like, you know, take some of these people out of the environment so that they're not as attached to these storylines that have been happening for years and years and years. Like, it's almost like mm-hmm. a soft reset for some of them, but we're still following their lives. And that's what the show needs, because
yeah,
they need to learn from Vanderpump Rules' mistake, which is like, they didn't set themselves up for having an off ramp for these people that we're all attached to have them exist in a different situation and with a different setup that isn't party based, really. And like,
yeah,
that's what they need to. Now is the time, if they're not already working on that, which I hope they are. Yeah,
they have to be thinking about Paige.
Okay,
people don't like this when I say this, but Hannah and Paige are actually the most successful people that Bravo's ever had, in my opinion, who have successfully built a brand outside of Bravo that is not dependent on Bravo in any way. The majority of people who listen to Giggly Squad don't even, like, know what Summer House is. Like, they are so removed from Bravo, and Bravo would be out of their mind if they were not trying to capitalize on this more
and keep
Paige in the fold. A 60-city tour or whatever, like, that is...
Selling out Radio City 4 times? Yeah, that's crazy.
I walk into DSW, there's Paige's face. Like, Paige and Hannah are legit famous, and people are always like, no, they're not. And I'm like, they are. I don't know what to... Like, they are so successful. Hannah's getting Netflix specials. Like, they are so successful, and Paige could so easily break away from Bravo and never even mention Bravo again. So you have to think that
they have to lock her down, right?
They have to lock her down. They have to. I would keep Wes, Jesse, and Sierra, and maybe even, like, Gabby on Summer House, and move Kyle, Amanda, Paige, and Lindsay to
and
a show
add
in the
some
city.
Of their and let, other friends.
Add other friends, and Sierra can kind of float back and forth.
Totally. And she can eventually graduate into that. Yeah, and that should be the plan. Before we get into Housewives, the episode ended with this, I think, another really great conversation between Paige and Sierra. Like, what I'm saying is, like, some people who are, like, super hyper behind Craig, and I have investment in Craig too, but, like, I don't know how you can watch the season of Summer House and think that Paige was, like, consciously leading him on or stringing him along and never, like, we're watching her realize these really kind of complicated things about her relationship and their dynamic that are kind of hard to stomach, honestly, for her. And, like, I believe that this is happening as we're watching it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It feels a lot like the Lindsay and Carl breakup.
Yes,
and that,
it
does. Before this season even started, I'm like, yeah, duh, of course they should have never gotten together. And then they broke up. But watching it was even, like, more obvious than I thought it ever could be. And that's how I'm feeling about Paige and Craig, because it's like, yeah, of course they broke up. We've been watching. The moment that she cried when she was thinking about possibly moving to South Carolina at that party mm-hmm. because she didn't want to live away from her mom, I was like, oh, they'll never be together. Like, she started crying at the prospect of, like, moving to be with him. And I was like, that.
Right.
So I went into the season being like, yeah, we already know why they broke up. But it's, like, 100 times even more obvious. And it's so clear that Paige was like, I think what she was doing is somebody who's, it's hard when you're in a relationship that, you know, you have to end a long-term relationship. And, like, I think it was in the scene for next week when she's crying, being like, mm-hmm. but I love him. I want, what if I break up with him? And it's the biggest mistake that I've ever made. I'm scared. Like, I think it's very clear that she had reached a place where she wanted to break up with Craig. And so she's like, I'll talk about it on camera. Because if we talk about it on camera, then we're going to break up. Yeah. It's like telling your friends, you know, that, like, something with your boyfriend happened, and then that makes it real and you have to, like, deal with it.
Yeah. And mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That I think even if they hadn't have broken up, I think we would. I think that she was 99%.
There's enough doubt out
sure.
there. Yeah, there's enough doubt out there about their relationship. And yeah, and the tour almost buys you a little bit of time. And I think that, and I don't know if that's conscious or not. Yeah, it's like, sort of, let me, like, have some time away to really, really process this without cameras in my face, too.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, filming, you can't break up with someone during filming. Well, no. Carl can. But in general, I feel like it is a weird environment. Like, I'm sure she was like, let me finish summer. Let me get through tour. And then
that's what she did, right?
Yeah,
like, she did one last hurrah at Thanksgiving, and that was sort of what happened. Yeah, so... It's just, I do find it fascinating. I think that Sierra is being a really, really great sounding board, saying some of the hard stuff out loud, you know, and I think that she is being a good friend to Paige by doing this.
Agree. And also, it's like, Craig is doing everything I ever thought he would. Like, to me, this is the Craig that we've always known. I think Craig loves a woman that's an underdog. Like, on Southern Charm, he always stood up for Catherine. Like, mm-hmm. when someone's being bullied Craig is often the one that sticks up for them, but I think he totally. Does not know what to do with someone, a woman he sees what? Rising above him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think he's always been that way. And I also think he's kind of the worst version of this in that he hates women being successful, but he also only wants to be with successful women or women that have drive, because it was the same thing with Nomi. You know what I mean? Like, why are you with someone with super rich parents who has these aspirations to run restaurants and live in France and like has all of these plans if you hate her for the plans? Mm. And like, that's how I feel about pay. Like, why, if this is what you want, why are you with this person? And it's because I think Craig has a lot of healing to do still. Like, he obviously, Craig has grown, right? Like, and I'll give Craig
props for that. Of course. Like, and Paige is a big part of that.
Yeah. And I've been watching Southern Charm since season one. Like, Craig has grown, and I'll give him major props for it. He's doing much better with the substance abuse stuff. The line we still need to be working on, but he is doing better. But I think at the end of the day, he thinks, I don't want to say this, like, he wants to be with this strong woman, but he also wants her to be like a dependent wife and mother. And I think he will be bored with a dependent wife and mother. So he's like, but because he has all these, you know what? It's own issues. It's totally internal. And I think he will, I mean, I think he's going to be married with a baby by like mid 2026. Like,
right. And listen, I think it's great for everybody that he has publicly moved on now. Like, he has
same.
On the girl
Hard
that we know
same.
About.
Thank
that's
God.
That's good for everybody. It takes some of the heat out of the situation. It's what he wants. Like, that's just, but I agree. That's a really good read on sort of where he's coming from. All right, Liz, I want to go across the country to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because part two started with a little bit of good stuff, a little bit, but it sort of petered out quickly. It was sort of that this is going to be a classic Beverly Hills 3-part reunion where part two like didn't need to exist. You know what I mean? Like, you could have folded the most interesting 5 minutes into the other two parts. Okay, one question for you. At the beginning, we had this thing between Garcelle and Kyle where Garcelle brings up again like what Kyle talked to her off camera about Morgan with her. And Garcelle reads that as, you're trying to manipulate me by, you know, telling me this off camera so I don't bring it up on camera. And from Kyle's perspective, it's allegedly, I would told you this to get closer to you. And I feel like,
can it be both?
Yes, that's because I would say I can't decide what I think about it, because I think it can be both, because I also think that Kyle told Garcelle this as she is falling out from Dorit. And so she knows that she is in dire need of an ally. And I think that her and Garcelle have had moments over the years that have been like encouraging for their friendship. But ultimately, I don't think Garcelle likes Kyle that much. But I think But I do think that Kyle kind of does want to be Garcelle's friend.
Here's the thing. None of these women operate in like a normal world and capacity. So like, Kyle, who has been doing this for so long, I think like genuinely can see, I think from her point of view, she's like genuinely like, no, this is, I get close to people by manipulating storylines. That's what we're all doing here. We're just manipulating that I'm closer to you. Like, I think that she genuinely doesn't see it that way. And I think though that Garcelle is right. I think I think that they're both right. And I think though at the end of the day that Garcelle's right lines up more with like the way that the rest of humans
think. The reality.
So like, so I'm on Garcelle's side at the end, but I don't think Kyle is like sitting around like plotting like, how am I gonna get get her to not talk
this
about
this has just been
camera.
Her life for the past 15 years. Right.
Yeah, and like calling up one of the cast members before the season and being like, let's chat about our lives and our storylines is the way that they bond, I think. Like,
exactly.
I think that is the way that they have friendships.
Yeah. And I think some of them accept that and some of them can't.
Well, that's always been an issue, show friends versus real friends. That's what we're seeing with Dorit and Kyle. Like, it's always been an issue. And yeah, I think that like Kyle she's so deep in it, she doesn't even see the issue, which is like,
Maybe it's time
for a pause.
That's what I've been saying, Liz. I've been like, and listen, I do have a really soft spot in my heart for Kyle, because I think just since the time we've invested in her, but I do think it's pretty undeniable that she could use some oxygen away from this show to really, even just to like figure out some big decisions in her life and then come back to the show having those things figured out a little bit more. And to be able to talk about that.
I mean, I think that we really discount the death of her best friend
Me
that
too.
Happened. And now Teddy. like she's
Jesus. Yes.
God forbid. Oh my God. But she could be losing two of her best friends in like 2 years. Mm-hmm. Like that on top mm-hmm. of
That's
losing
really
her
tough.
Husband, the father of her children, the person that she has put a lot of her identity in, mm-hmm. all at the same like to go from her best friend to Mauricio to Teddy is like, I'm like,
really
don't
hard.
Be on TV. Like, just deal with your life.
Especially if this person who you have a newfound somewhat of a connection with, we don't know the nature of it necessarily, but like, especially if that person
if
doesn't
want to be on. Yeah.
If they don't want to be in this environment, take that as a clue of the universe telling you, hey, maybe right now is not the right time to air out your life on TV.
Go let Morgan comfort you. Like, go, because Morgan's there for the Teddy surgeries. Like, go be with Morgan and Teddy and, like, take care of Teddy. Like, because I do believe that Kyle genuinely loves Teddy.
1,000%.
Kyle's always had real friends.
Yeah.
For the record, Kyle's always had real friends. And I think Teddy is her real friend. And, like, I'm like, just go be with Teddy and Morgan. The three of you get along great. You're girls. Whatever is going on with you and Morgan and the whatever is that the two of you are in a relationship. Like, that is the whatever. But, like, just go be with your girlfriend and, like, and take care of your best friend. If that's what you want to do, like, that's fine. But you don't get to also be on the show and, like...
And not talk about any of that.
You can't live in both worlds.
No, totally. What did you make of how Andy questioned her? Andy tried to push her. I thought that he did a pretty great job, to be honest. And I thought that, like... What that moment really actually taught me is like that there's this sort of like, you know, every other year it's like, oh, Andy's going to make a big announcement. He's going to retire. He's going to step away. Nobody else could have done that. Nobody else could have said to Kyle Richards,
they would have gotten mad. Yeah.
You can't Kyle have your cake and eat it too. Yeah. No, but Kyle will take that from Andy because they have a friendship and a long lasting relationship. He can do that with her. He can bring up the fact that, okay, it can be true that Morgan doesn't want to be on TV, but also, she is getting covered in the New York Times and people know who she is now because of what you guys have, because of your connection. And so it's like, I love that he pushed back on that, even though we still didn't get a full answer in terms of what they are. I do think that like he forced her hand in some other ways, which I think was good to see.
Andy doesn't like when people deny the platform that Housewives gives them.
So
he
true.
Doesn't like that. So he does not like Kyle and Morgan being like, they said, he's like, no, nope. The New York Times is 100% because of Bravo, and don't you dare forget it. Like, that's something that I have noticed throughout the years that he does not like if people won't give, like, proper credit to the network and the show. Not him, like, specifically, but, like, the empire that is Real Housewives.
The engine,
He does not let people sit there and pretend, like, they are not benefiting from that, and I appreciate that. And it just reminded me the issue with Beverly Hills, which has been the issue for years and years, really since probably Lisa Vanderpump left, is that there's no Greek chorus. There is no one on this show saying what I'm thinking about these cast members.
Yeah.
And it is, I am somebody who needs a Greek chorus on these shows. I need a cut to someone in a confessional being like, she's a lesbian. You know, like I...
Which like Garcelle has had moments of that, I think.
He's coming out of it a little bit.
But Garcelle, her biggest issue is that she won't do it always in the moment, right?
Garcelle has used this platform in such an incredible way.
Yes,
she,
one of the best ways.
She had a name before. She was a star, of course, but she was an aging actress in Hollywood, especially a woman of color. Like, that is not an easy position to be in. And she has parlayed this into the Lifetime movies, the BET movies, producing. Like, she has real stuff going on. And the reality is someone with real, real stuff like that can't get as dirty as I want them to and can't. She's just never going to be as messy now. Like, I think she had that realization when she was doing the reunion, which was like,
we saw it happen. Yeah, no, it's like she saw that next season would have forced her to get messy and she doesn't want to end up in the mud there.
Yeah, she's like,
it's not worth it.
Why am I sitting here for 8 hours doing this? I don't even want to get into these fights. I also think that Garcelle's very funny, but she is not a person that, like, she's not like a Bethany where she needs to hold the center of the room, or even a Lisa Vanderpump. And it's hard to be a Greek chorus and not also have that, like, I want to shine on the house or on a Bravo show. So she just, like, doesn't quite fit the bill.
Yeah, I agree.
And I just, like, constantly, I felt it all season listening to Erica talk about her divorce. I felt crazy, absolutely fucking crazy that nobody turned to her and said, Erica, you're lucky you're not in prison. You should probably go to prison for what you did for Marco. We're not sad for you for your divorce because of what you did. You are lucky that you are still on this show, that you have a livelihood, and that we still talk to you. Shut up. Like, the fact that nobody did that and just, like, let her talk like she had a normal divorce.
Yeah.
I feel crazy when she is talking to the other women and they're like, yeah, that's so good you got a divorce lawyer. I'm like, you need a criminal defense attorney.
right.
You don't need a divorce attorney. Like, you need 8 different attorneys for all the things that you did. Like, so why am I sitting here listening to you talk about how angry you are that you didn't get the sympathy that Kyle gets? Like, I can't. And the fact that nobody
asked us,
says it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't. It's like nobody needs to bring in the widows and orphans themselves. You know what I mean?
No. It's not. It doesn't have to. We don't have to, like, retread in that way. But you can't forget. And yeah, there's a fine line there. And I just think it speaks to, like, between the Kyle thing, between the lack of somebody to play this role, between, and then Garcelle now obviously leaving. The show needs, like, an Atlanta treatment, an OC treatment, where we keep some of them for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you bring a couple people back, and then you have to inject some really new, great people.
Agree.
And I just think that if Kyle takes a season off, like, it just takes a huge blockage out for the show as a whole, but also for people like Erica and Dorit to really sort of test them without her there. And yeah, that's what the show really, really needs right now.
Totally. Kyle's got to go. I also think that, like, and I hate to say it, she's so sad. She's so sad right now, yeah. Kyle. I'm like, this doesn't make me feel like listening to her, like, talk about the pictures in her home that she hasn't took down. I'm like, this is sad.
Yeah, I know.
I don't really want to watch this. Like, mm-hmm. I love very dark storyline. Like, season one of Beverly Hills,
problem.
I think,
oh,
is
yeah,
one of the
yeah.
best seasons of television. I'm like, let's expose more addictions on television. Like, please. I love darkness. But there's something about Kyle's that I'm just like, it's watching a depressed person. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Watching someone who is actively in depression as a depressed person. I'm just like, Kyle, don't make yourself you sitting here fighting with Dorit?
This isn't helping.
Like, you need energy to be doing other things. Like, you don't need this. You, first of all, you have so much fucking money. You have made yourself famous. You're going through a hard time. They will bring you back anytime you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Just go take 2 years off.
Yeah, totally. And that's also part of it is, like, I think Beverly Hills is sort of of all the franchises, it feels like the show where the difference between people who need the show and don't need the show is, like, probably the most obvious. You know, you have somebody like Dorit who clocked in this season in a way that was like, Kyle's right. She did need the job. Kyle's right. Like, that was, and that moment from part one, I thought was really interesting because there was something that Kyle knew that she did not say in that little exchange about, like, her being friends with the executives, you know? And I think it has to do with the timing of Dorit's separation announcement personally, which came right as, like, contracts were being signed. But last two things about Beverly Hills before I move to Atlanta is, what do you make of Sutton coming into this reunion with such low energy? Dorit pointed
Xanax
out
or something. Like, she was so,
yeah, it's like Dorit pointed out that she had all this energy for her all season, and now she's basically saying two words every hour.
Sutton, to me, she works as, like, a side character. Sutton is not a main star to me. I'm not a friend of, she's a Cynthia. Sutton is a Cynthia. Asking Sutton to stand in her power and her truth, she can't
it's
do
not
it
gonna work.
And you know what? I'm so glad we saw her mom this season, because I'm like,
so glad. It explained everything. Yeah, it did.
Everything makes sense. When Dorit is screaming at her and Sutton just sitting there, like, blank face, I'm like, okay, that's her and her mom.
Reba
okay,
coded.
Got it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Like, got it. All of this makes more sense. But she just, like, when I threw my hands up in the air when Kathy goes, Sutton, you told me that you did it to be mean to Dorit when you made fun of her being poor. And Sutton goes, no, I didn't. I didn't do it to be mean. Girl, yes, you did. And it's funny. And we're glad you did
it. Own it. Own it. Lisa Rinna,
just
own
say,
it.
Yeah, I did it because you called me a cunt.
Right.
So I called you
eight
poor.
Times and eight times. Right. And it's and actually, that's not worse. That's not as bad as they were acting like it was. They were acting like the wallet comment was, like, the worst thing that's ever been said on Housewives. But it's because Sutton just can't. It's like that extra
step. She can't stand in it.
Yeah.
No, and, like, when Dorit is screaming at you, you live on a main fucking road, why would you not turn around and say, your house is in foreclosure? Are you fucking kidding me?
That's what made Dorit saying that all the better, because of the rumors about her house. And it's like,
yeah, so why doesn't
Sutton
who's
not
saying
it? Right.
Why doesn't anybody tap in?
Right.
If this was in OC, even somebody on that couch would have been
My God. You think Tamara wouldn't say that?
Foreclosure?
Right, exactly. You think Jennifer Pedranti who's on the up and up, wouldn't say that? You know what I mean?
I mean, have we learned nothing from the way that Danielle Staub operated for the first two seasons? Like, we must bring things up.
Yeah, exactly.
That made me feel crazy. Like, once again, it just made me feel crazy. And I think
that missing element.
Sutton is good on the show. She makes sense as a housewife. Her life is funny. I'm Jennifer Tilly just like munching along as Dory is going on. Like, I loved it. I'm glad Sutton brought her in. But like, we cannot rely on Sutton to be the main fighter.
I totally. Yeah, that's indicative of where the show is. Right.
That exactly.
Yeah.
Sutton cannot be that person.
We need someone
come in and help Sutton.
Right.
And this is what I mean by Garcelle was over it. Like, she didn't say shit for Sutton and Sutton didn't say shit for her. And it's like, because Garcelle is like, I'm not going to say that.
I think Garcelle was over it. I think Garcelle was over it. So it wasn't worth it for her. And I think Sutton almost recognized that in her. So she was like, I can't go against the rest of this group when I'm going to be around next year.
Yep.
Last thing about Beverly Hills. I'm curious just quickly. Bo's had a great season, but I think that this reunion, particularly part two, I'm getting a little bit of like a holier than thou condescending vibe from how she's talking to some of them. It's landing a little bit on the irksome side for me.
I think Bo's is hard because she admits that she watched the show and she admits that she's seen the way that Dory has treated Garcelle. So I don't love people not liking Bo's because she doesn't like Garcelle and they're not like, I don't like that.
Yeah,
I
me
think
neither.
It's unfair, but I do think that it is hard for us to like let her just come in and exist, especially when she admits that she's watched the show. So there, I do understand why people are like put off by that because it's like, how do you come in and make Dorit your best friend? Like, really, like that's really what you're going to do. I think that she hasn't fully gotten into the cast because she's not really in drama herself so much. So watching her like yell at other people for other people, I think that's what you're reading as like the I'm too good for you all thing. It's because she's not fighting any of her own battles yet. So it's like she's just commenting on everyone else, which is fine. That's what you're supposed to do on this
especially
show.
A newbie.
But if you're not in it, it comes off in a weird way where she had been like going directly with people because they had a fight over the season. I don't think it would have quite had that tone, but I think she had a good season. I think that she's finding her footing. She's talking a lot of shit online, which I don't love. I don't love an online shit talker. As I said, I think these shows are better when we keep them offline.
Me too.
And I do think that like your off-season performance can really impact your second season. So I want her to be careful and tread lightly. But I want to see what she's like when she actually has her own drama with the other women versus just being Dorit's friend.
Because she's had really none this season that wasn't related to Dorit. Right. So we'll see. We'll see. But I agree. And she's a great find for the show. It reminds me a little bit of myself with Brahma, where it's like at first I was like 100% love. But then like it's sort of
calculated,
a little bit more complicated for me as a viewer and how I was taking them. But that's good.
Totally.
That's actually a really good thing to have as sort of a more divisive person.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store Certified Packing Experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS Store. Visit the upsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
Atlanta. Let's just talk about the Kenya Britt thing at her hair spa event. So we have this beautiful event. It's supposed to be the big crowning moment of Kenya's like years long process of building this genuinely looks like a great place. You know, she did a very good job with it. She invested a lot of money in it.
Kenya Moore Hair Salon. Hair Salon.
Uh-huh. And even Portia came in doing the, exactly.
I love that so much. All I want to see is my girls laughing
I know,
together.
I
just always want to see them laughing.
And it's, I guess, I don't even know where to start with this.
Wait, can we start? I was going to, can we start with Britt and the gun?
Yeah.
Because I think we are not going to, okay. I am fine to an extent with fighting on Housewives. Like, I love Danielle from New Jersey, Danielle, and I keep being like, I just need her to learn, like, that you can't hit Jen Aiden every time she's annoying, because you can't do that.
Right, that's how it
Candace
works.
Yep. On Potomac, right? Like, I am not a person that's like, fighting needs to get off this show. Where I will draw a hard line, and I think would be incredibly easy for Bravo to draw a hard line, is mentioning a gun. Britt should have not been filming another night. That should have been her last time ever filming. When they got back to production that night and were watching, you know what I mean? Because they go back and they... So, like, I know that they heard Britt say, I have a gun. You are not allowed to mention guns. You are not allowed to mention guns. You cannot mention guns on Housewives. I think that is the easiest hard line for Bravo to draw. I think everyone would be fine with it.
It's very black and white.
That should have been it. That she should have been done filming. And so in a world where that doesn't happen, Kenya was given the easiest when she's like, we need to get her off the show. So call up Bravo and say, I'm not filming with someone who mentioned a gun, and make a big deal about it. But Kenya can't help herself. And she wants to be iconic and have iconic moments and have gifts and have videos and get on the Traders. And she wants to have these moments, and she's a very broken person and doesn't listen to other people. And like, that's what's so crazy to me is, one, if Kenya didn't do what she did, we would all be like losing our minds over Britt, in my opinion. When you listen to what she said, it is
it's threatening.
Somebody told me, they were like, she wasn't threatening her. I'm like, yeah. Mentioning a gun is threatening. Like, is this going to be Andy at the reunion? Britt, Liz from Malvern, PA wonders if you were going to murder Kenya that night. Like, that's crazy. That is a crazy, like, you cannot have that on your show.
No.
But for Kenya to overblow a gun threat is, like, really, like, Kenya.
I know.
How did you fuck this up so bad? Because if Kenya had gotten everyone together the next morning and been like, we have talked on this show about gun control, about police brutality, about the way that Black women are murdered. Like, we have had these conversations on this show, and I'm gathering everyone here but Britt to let you all know that she threatened to murder me with a gun last night. That would be it. Britt wouldn't be on the show anymore. The women would, even Portia was like, she mentioned a pistol? Like,
yeah, she didn't hear it. They, right, exactly.
And they didn't hear it. So they don't really, like, there is a way that Kenya could have done this so well.
I know.
And I still, like, can't, first of all, as somebody who was an assistant, who took that to Kenko's, or, well, it's Staples now is where you go.
That's part of what this whole thing tells me, is that there were people around Kenya who told her this was a good idea.
Multiple.
There were yes people around her. And that's why I loved Cynthia going up to her after the fact, which I took as a good friend move to be like, listen, that wasn't cool. That was beneath you. That's not you to do that. I'll call you. Whatever. We're good. But like, that was not good.
Yeah.
Some people took that as Cynthia taking an out, and sort of like that was her way of jumping ship, which, like, maybe it could be
That was a crazy moment. That was a crazy moment.
Yeah, but
I don't blame anyone for how
they
reacted.
Somebody needed to tell Kenya the hard truth, and somebody should have done that before she did this. And that's the other thing that people are saying is, like, Kenya didn't feel protected by production, and some production must have known about this because there are poster boards there. And so somebody in production should have stepped in and told her not to do this because they knew it was a bad idea. But, like, do you think the production should have intervened in that?
I'm not so sure they knew exactly what would happen. I'm not so sure I buy that, because Kenya does stunts. Kenya's always done stunts.
Mm-hmm.
She had four different poster boards. Can I believe that she was like, I'm calling Britt out tonight and look at these poster boards
for
I have and not
or whatever.
Show
it? Right. Yeah.
Because the first two that she shows are apparently not bad. We don't really see them, but, like, they're not graphic. So do I think production 100% knew exactly what she was going to do? I really don't. Even if they did, it was one of the better Housewives episodes I've watched in a long time. So I'm not going to pretend that I think that they shouldn't have done it.
Right.
I don't know. It is, like, kind of ethically hard watching them, like, edit that, and they do, like, the slow motion. Like,
I know.
I'm, like, screaming, but I'm like, are you guys enjoying this too much?
It's also like maybe a production assistant knew and they didn't realize that was something that she would have gotten suspended for. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's the levels of it are hard. And you talk about the blowing moment where she's like, I'm going to pay her dust. It's like, but Kenya, doing all of this and making your event about Brit is not paying her dust. That's actually giving her a lot of attention. That's giving her way more than dust. And that's what's so frustrating about it. It's like you could have. So Kenya didn't disinvite her from the event because she was going to do this in front of Brit. Like she didn't think that Brit was going to leave before this happened. But Kenya ignoring her so intensely for Brit to pull herself out of this after bringing flowers after 5 minutes of the event, that is the perfect way to, if she didn't want to do more, like you had said, that was the perfect easy way for her to treat this at her event. Give it no light. Don't mention her. Don't even acknowledge her. She pulls herself out, disinvites herself, essentially, after making the effort to go through glam and bring herself to this event, buy you flowers, and then just ignore her like the rest of the season, basically. Like, ice her out until she wanted to scare her away, basically, and embarrass her off the show, run her off the show.
Yes.
And that didn't work.
No, and that's what, like, she could have done. I really think she could have used the gun thing. Like, if she had just started screaming and got on Instagram that night and was like, one of the cast members threatened to murder me with a gun. Like, if she had been loud about it in the moment, like, Bravo would have had to react. Like, she just wanted, she was like, she was a cat with a fucking canary. Like, she was presented with something and she knew rightfully that she had the upper hand because threatening with someone with a gun is unacceptable and crazy. And she was like, I can't twirl on. You know what I like? I'm going to be rewarded for this just like I've been rewarded for all of my other stunts. Even if they don't love it in the moment, eventually it'll go viral online. Mm-hmm. And she just misread it to a level that's.
It's unconscionable. It's also because it's like we know that Kenya loves the stunt, but she's been doing this for so long that it's like,
you know, girl.
You can't argue that you can't argue that she didn't know better than this. You can't argue that she thought that this was going to go down without any sort of at least negative feedback from production. Mm-hmm. And like, I very much
the age we live in. Exactly. Like, you know.
And there's this clip that's been making the round actually of Kenya when she was feuding with Phaedra back in the day where she like jokingly like showed her gun and was like, should I pack this for whatever trip they were going on?
It's just not the same. It's
not the same. It's also just a different climate that we live in 10 years later. And like, we've seen these shows very much evolve on other topics and things. And like, there should be no tolerance policy for bringing up your guns and in any manner. Like, it's it's kind of a no-brainer. Like, it's just, why was
you
it reprimanded? Why was she not reprimanded? Because
like
the way they're talking about it, it makes me think that like, because Brit was like apologetic the next day, like, but it's like, that doesn't negate what she said at all.
She is incredibly dangerous. I am sorry, somebody who mentions gun. Also, the fight was like nothing that they had. Like,
no, exactly. It was because she didn't hug her.
That's what Portia kept saying.
Right.
Portia kept being like,
makes no sense.
I don't understand, because at the table, we had a housewives fight. And at the table, it was fine because we fought like housewives. We did normal housewife behavior. She's like, I don't give a fuck what Brit did at the table. I don't give a fuck what Kenya did at the table. It's after the table. I thought actually that summed up like housewives feuds so well.
Totally.
Where it's like,
it's like, wait, you did like, this because of this?
We have fights at the table and it's allowed, but you're not allowed to go into the parking lot and talk about you're getting your strap. Like, you're not allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. And just because the next day you're like, oh, I'm sorry. But like the fact that she reacted like that to something so minuscule, to me, that's not a safe person. Like, I would not feel safe being around someone who escalates to that level. I would feel safer around Kenya, who doesn't do that. But then
I know. It's really frustrating.
I think what's also hard is, like, the premeditation with Kenya.
Yeah. She has
so many chances to stop herself.
I think that's also what differentiates it in the minds of some of the people who make these decisions.
Yeah, for Kenya and Brit. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like that's sort of, I think, a big differentiator. It's like Kenya had to think of this idea, find the photos, get the poster boards, print out the photos, tape them onto, like that was, somebody did that for her. She did that herself. And like, that's a lot of work. And Brit said, and again, does not excuse it, but she said it in the heat of the moment, which is, again, it's still, she said what she said, but like, it's different. My little conspiracy theory also is that like, so we have that scene before the event of Portia and Brit meeting up, and Brit is like so apologetic. She's like, I totally fucked up. Like, I want to make it right with Kenya. And something about it to me felt like it was taped after at some point.
Mm.
Because Brit and Kelly, when they're driving to the event, Britt does not mention that at all, that conversation with Portia at all, which like she totally would have, I think. And Portia doesn't mention meeting up with Britt at all when she's talking to the ladies before Britt gets there.
They needed that scene if they knew they were firing Kenya and
exactly.
keeping Britt.
That's
would need that pickup scene.
Conspiracy theory.
I mean, that seems really, really possible to me because we cannot go from that night to the hair care slot. Like
Portia sort of meeting Britt halfway. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, props to Portia because the look on her face the entire presentation is of disgust. And I was like, good for you, Portia. You have the right face on camera because that does matter, right? Like you don't, unfortunately, I think if they did pan to me, I would have been like, just at like the insanity of it. Like I would have had
like a nervous smile.
Like I would have looked like the Joker. Like I would have looked like insane. Just like, I cannot believe that I am watching
this happen. It's entertainment. It is like juicy. Like this is wild.
Wild. I would have been one of the people screaming like, ah.
Yeah. You just wish the photos weren't of Britt allegedly performing oral sex. You know what I mean? Like you wish that it was like something a little bit more still risque, but maybe not that risque, you know?
Yeah. You just wish it was different. You just wish it was a little different.
Having the right look on your face is
it's important. As somebody who has a really mean face and always has the wrong look on my face, I say this with experience that it's really important that when things like that are going on, especially if you're on TV, that your face looks right while it's happening. Because if they pan to you and you're doing a Joker smile, you don't look good. But every time they pan to Portia, she looks upset, disgusted. Once the porn came out, she's out the door. I also, you know who was having a much better season than I thought she would? Kelly.
Oh, I agree.
First of all, short power. I love that she's like
4'10". I like Kelly.
Like when she's standing next to Angela, I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Their height difference and Cynthia is so funny. I'm 5'1", so like I get it. the minute that Kenya started her thing, she gave it like one listen and then she was like, no. And
I'm
I was
out.
Like, Kelly, good for you. Look at
Kelly showing some good instincts, I think.
I love when a new housewife or a new cast member shows good instincts like that,
and
that they pick the right side. I'm like, smart, smart, smart.
I think her thing with Portia is really fun because they both sort of like game recognizes game a little bit and they have respect. The one thing that is annoying me about Kelly is that she was standing right next to Britt when she mentioned the pistols, and Kelly is basically saying, I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it was not one time. That's also the other thing. How many times?
Yeah, it was at least twice. Yeah, it was at least twice, right? Yeah,
maybe three. Even more.
Yeah,
like she said multiple times. And if Kenya heard, then Kelly probably heard
1,000%. Kenya was across the parking lot.
Yeah,
Kelly was right there.
Kelly's got instincts where she's like, I didn't hear that.
You can't prove that I heard it. Right, exactly. These are my ears. Right, I get it.
I was drunk. It was loud. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Wait, Angela and her daughter. Can we talk about that real quick? Because.
Yes, because.
That was crazy.
Let me just say Angela has some really juicy personal storyline. It's like the mom and the husband
and the husband who had
the secret baby who we haven't talked about on the show, and then him getting kicked out of Madison Square Garden, blacklisted, and now we have this whole thing with the daughter all of a sudden where like she was living with the mom and then she got kicked out and then she's secretly married. I'm like, whoa.
So right off the bat I was like, great, lily pad housewife, love a housewife who comes on whose husband hates her, always great because I love watching them leave. Always. I'm like, okay, fun, right on track. Then we get the daughter stuff. And I'm like watching this like, great, great, great. Did I hear her correctly say that it's good her mom isn't on bipolar medicine anymore because she was using it as a crutch? Was that what she said?
Did she
mean that? Because I rewound it literally twice because I was like.
She said that?
No, that's not what she's. I thought, and maybe this is what she said and it was not edited that way. I thought she was saying. Like, she's doing better with her bipolar, which is good because she used that as, like, a crutch for her behavior.
Got it. Okay.
So I was – but when you listen to what she says –
I'm going to have to rewatch it.
She straight up says – and it's good that she's not – she says she's been off that medicine. She claims she's healed herself, and that's good because, you know, she's really using that as a crutch for a while. And I was like
– That's a choice to say on camera. Mm-hmm.
Full Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone scream face.
Like, I'm that Nini face where she's like, Yeah. Like uncomfortable smile. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, yeek. Oh no. And I hope that she didn't mean that, but I did rewind it 2 times because okay. I was like,
wait. Yeah. Well, that's the thing with this Angela stuff is like, we're like getting thrown into these like really wild stories. And I'm like, wait,
she's Monica-like.
Yeah. Totally. It's like, wait, I do need to watch this 3 times. I do need to like, I feel like I needed like a precursor scene to set this up.
Yeah. You're like suddenly you're like, oh, she seems nice. And you're like, oh, she has a bad private, like personal life, relationship, whatever. That's normal. And then you're like, huh, her sister and her daughter were fist fighting. Okay, I'm taking this in. So, which is how I felt about Monica when she was like LD first came in. And it's like,
yeah, oh my God.
Okay, I'm taking
LD.
This in. I'm taking this in. Yeah. That's how I feel about Angela. And I'm like, I'm excited.
I'm riveted.
This season,
I know.
This season is good. We are back. I've seen a lot of people say Portia doesn't have a storyline, but I'm okay. Like, not, it's been 4 episodes.
But like, Portia has the Simon stuff. She might not be talking about all of it, but like, that's enough
also,
for me.
The Dennis, like, fuck your.
Yeah, the Dennis thing. I totally agree.
I've been fucking livid.
I agree.
Like, it's also been 4 episodes. Like, we are
so
like, early in
and
this
it's, and it's already so good, I think. I think it's already so good.
The best it's been in.
In like 5 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been really.
Been slumping. And so it was really, I feel like they've really, they did the reboot the right way.
Yes. And that they did it in the OC way.
Yep. They brought some people back. They brought in some new people. Shamia, star.
Oh,
having
star,
such a great season.
Can't say it enough.
Drew, she's good on Atlanta Housewives sometimes. And I think she's having a good season so far. Although I do believe that the Dennis stuff is fake. And I think that that's slimy as shit to.
It's very slimy.
To use somebody's.
And she's playing dumb.
If it was her ex, if it was Justin ex, if it was Cordell, which well, I don't think it would be Cordell, but if it was Cordell, it would be one thing. But the father
the
of your
daddy.
Child,
yeah. Yep.
Your child is 5 years old. You still have 13 years left of normal co-parenting and then the rest of your life to mm-hmm. operate as a family.
Don't fuck around with that.
Mm-hmm. Don't fuck around with that. It's the same thing I didn't like Katie bringing up Emily's 10-year-old sons on OC. I'm like, they're 10.
Yeah.
Don't, like, just don't. Even though I know that Katie and her daughter are telling the truth, those are 10-year-olds.
Yeah, I agree.
And we don't bring them into drama. And, like, bringing somebody's baby's father, even though, like, we
it's
know
a
what
desperate
Portia
move.
Did with Simon. It's not great. Like, Portia's not innocent, but.
But it's a desperate
just as,
move.
Like, a. As a character, like as something that Drew is doing, removed from Portia, I think it's a low down dirty move and it makes me not respect you because it's like that is you are doing something that's really, really sleazy and you're trying. It's Danielle Staubian. It's like you're trying to mess with like people's lives right now. Like when Danielle's like trying to get it's not as bad. She's not trying to get custody taken away.
No.
But it's like this is real life shit. Don't play with real life. Don't play with kids. Don't play with real life.
Mm-mm.
I don't. And it's like, Gia Judah, it's like, fine. Like, 20-year-olds, like, go at it. But, like, PJ's 5. She is a baby. Let's keep PJ and her daddy out of the drama. And I think that Portia being, like, very clear that the issue is filming and bringing him on camera, and that is my only issue. I respect that because
I
believe her.
It's also like it's not like Dennis is like some known music producer. Like this is a stretch to begin with. Like he produced
the Hot Dog King.
Yeah,
like,
please.
What are we?
Give me a fucking break.
What are we doing here?
What are you doing here? But what we're doing here is producing a good show, and that is what we are doing here, Liz. I'm glad that you're on board with Atlanta, like I am, because it's exciting. It's exciting.
I'm laughing. All I ever want to do is laugh.
Yeah, that's ultimately the experience we want, right? And with OG Roni taken away from us, we're there's one less source of that. So
rest in peace.
Liz, thank you so much. I kept you for a little long, but I really
no. This is
okay. Great. Yeah, this is
never
so much
expect
fun.
To have me on anywhere for less than like
stunning. Okay,
two
good.
Hours.
Good to know. I'll file that away. No, this was great. Again, I love when a guest comes on and just makes me think differently about certain things. And that's what I like about what we do. So I really appreciate you coming on. When can people expect new episodes of Liz Explains? Do all your plugs before we sign off.
Okay, so I have a podcast. It's called Liz Explains. It's only on Patreon. I have a once a week episode that comes out on Fridays about everything pop culture. Last week, I did talk about the Karen Reed case, which I'm like kind of obsessed with. But this week, I'll be talking about like Remy Bader's weight loss surgery and internet stuff that's going on. So it's all things pop culture. And I've just started every other week recapping old Vanderpump Rules episodes. So I had Troy McGeady on last week, my good friend. And we talked about season one, episode one of Vanderpump Rules. Some of the best reality television to ever exist. I used to do recaps back in the day, and I'm excited to like just get back in beat for beat recapping. And of course, I'm going to have you on.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that will be out every other Tuesday. So, you know, come get six episodes a month from me.
I love that. Wait, before I go, you bring up Remy Bader, and we talked about at the beginning of this episode, NYC Next Gen. Could she have been a good choice for that show, do you think?
Maybe. Yeah, okay. Maybe. Because maybe. Here's the thing. She's like a cusper. She's a little older. I think she's like 30 or 29.
Yeah, she just turned 30. Yeah.
I think that she understands presentation and like for reality. Sure. I think she would understand reality television.
Yeah.
And she is one of the few New York influencers that I think could do well on TV, like well, as in it would be entertaining for me to watch. I don't know like mentally how well that would be for her.
I agree.
For me personally and my pleasure only, I think she could have been okay on that show. Like she could have, there are a couple that I'm like, I could, they
yeah,
should
maybe
just
we swap
like,
some out.
Get Charli D'Amelio. She's living in New York now. Like just put everyone on this fucking show.
Yeah,
who cares? Like just put them on.
Yeah. Totally. Oh my God. Well, Liz, thank you so much. Everyone check out Liz Explains, and we'll do this again sometime soon.
Thank you. This was so fun.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.